Well, hallelujah. My name is Dan Lorette. I'm going to share very briefly with you how Jesus Christ set me free from the power of sin and the bondage of the devil. But before I begin, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, Father, I come and I ask, God, that you would effect change and transformation in the hearts of everybody listening. That, God, nobody would go away from this testimony saying that it's not true, that you can't do that in a person's life. Father, let this testimony be a seed. Let it not glorify me, but let it glorify you. And God, let your spirit of conviction be upon everybody that hears this testimony. In the name of Jesus, I thank you in advance for everything you're going to do, and everything you are doing, and everything you've done. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Well, from the ages of 12 until 18, I was in jail. Now, my entire youth was behind bars. And if I could describe evil, I would say that I was the friend of evil. Now, when I was 8 or 9, I remember going to bed at my old place. It was 34 Harris Avenue, Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. And as I walked up the stairs alone to go to bed, I stopped. And the moment I stopped and reached the middle of the staircase, I sensed something very dark. I felt the presence of evil come all over my physical body. I had no religious background. I didn't know anything about God or the devil. The powers of hell came rushing over me, and I was totally engulfed in a presence that I could only describe today as demonic. And that was my first encounter with the devil. But not long after that strange experience, actually just a few months later at the same address, I had another supernatural occurrence. It was fall, and I was playing in the leaves, and all around me I heard an audible voice coming from every direction possible. And the voice said, "Danny, Danny," called out my name twice. Then the voice was gone. Now that was the voice of God. You see, Satan had called. He had called me into his evil service when I was a young man. But not long after that, God called out my name audibly. Now, I just knew that God had called my name. And I knew that prior to that, a few months before that, Satan had come and scared the daylights out of me. Now, people would say, "That's the boogeyman. You know, that's just your imagination." But I'm going to tell you what, it really doesn't matter what a person says, because our personal beliefs will never change the truth. Now, Satan had a plan, and God also had a plan. And his plan never fails, because he's God. Amen. Well, let's just fast forward now a few years. My mom and dad, they were great parents. They weren't saved, but they did love me. And I grew up in a middle-class and hard-working family. Mom worked as a janitor at the school district, while Dad took jobs here and there as, well, basically a jack of all trades. And they were good to us, and I have one brother. Now, for whatever reason, and I suspect it's because of man's sinful nature. Suspect? Nah, it's our sinful nature. For whatever reason, I just started doing things I should have never done. And I'd take Bibles, and I would burn them. I would speak with the dead and would talk to the devil and seek him for power. I was only 10 or 11 years old. And I did this on my own, apart from any outside influences. The only influence that caused me to do these things was the devil himself. And one day, the police in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada, they found my Bibles and candles in an abandoned building that I would worship in. And they came to moms and dads and questioned me in front of my own family. That was embarrassing. I was humiliated, and I was shocked. The scary part was that when they had asked me if I belonged to a satanic group in Riverview, just across the bridge from my city, I said, no, I had no idea that there was a satanic group just across town. They had suspected me of being an initiate into a local cult. when in all reality I had no clue that any such cult existed. I was 10 or 11 years old. I was practicing in some of the same ways that organized Satanists were practicing. And thus the reason I know that the devil is real. But you see, Jesus beat him on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago as a Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy and annihilate the works of the devil. My entire young life before I received Christ was filled with satanic worship and crime. I lost my virginity at 12 years of age as the enemy persuaded me to do things which were ungodly. I partook of drugs and alcohol as my own heart loved evil. I ended up, for my first time, in jail. I was 12 years old. I spent the next 6 years behind bars, never being released from jail for more than 4 months at a time before I commit another crime and end up there again. I was abused, not sexually, but physically and emotionally. I was abused in jail, and I was called name after name by the so-called counselors who were in charge of seeing to it that we were taken care of and looked after. They made me stand in a corner many times for hours while others went to bed. I was forced to lean my forehead into the corner of a desk while everyone watched and laughed at me. I was beaten up many times by inmates and guards. Then I hardened and became not the victim anymore, but the offender. I began beating others and doing that which I had always hated having done to me. I stole thousands of dollars from my family. Money, televisions, clothing, rent, mortgage money. I stole whatever I could for drugs and sex and partying. I broke into stores and I did a few armed robberies. Nothing was too evil for me at that time. Now some wish they could escape sin. I wished I could have more sin. And that's the truth. I longed to hurt people. I longed to lie about people. I once told authorities that my parents would drink all the time and then beat me. Not a word of that was even the truth. I just needed an excuse for why I was out late all the time and skipping school. My life was about me, so I lied and made up stories about my own family so I could escape punishment. Now in 1992, at the age of 15, going on 16, I was sent to a maximum security prison for about 2 years because of taking a cook hostage at another jail. I'd escaped one jail, and when I was caught, they sent me to one I definitely couldn't get out of. Bulletproof windows. Electronic doors. It's now a facility for adults. It's called the Madawaska Regional Correctional Center. Needless to say, there was a guard who worked at this jail. His name is Joe Godreau. He was born again and Holy Ghost filled. And he witnessed the love of God to me as no one else could have. This man was the type of man who loved me no matter what. I'd laugh at him and he loved me. I'd slander him and he loved me. I'd mock God in his face, and he loved me. I'd tell him I wanted to be the Antichrist, and he loved me. I'd curse Christianity, and Gil Godreau, the guard, would continue to love me. No matter what I did, no matter what I said, Gil loved me unconditionally, and I knew that this guy was not a phony. I knew he was real. This man wasn't a fake who said one thing and lived another. He loved Jesus Christ, and everyone in the jail knew it. The man wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He knew that it was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believed. I remember the day I asked him to prove God. I said, Jill, prove God. And he told me that the Bible said that God gives his people a new language. And he had this new language. He opened the Bible and showed me that the Bible says that God gives his people the gift of speaking in other tongues. And he claimed to have this God language. Now I don't care what anyone says. The gift of tongues are for today and they are real. It makes no difference to me what the modernists and what the cessationists say. Tongues are real. It doesn't really bother me what the liberals or the devils say. Tongues are real. It doesn't matter to me if some of the brethren, some of our own own children of God, some people who love the Lord, say that tongues are not real, but you know what? Tongues are real. And listen to me. I asked this man, this guard, to show me that God was real. And I had just read it in the Bible, because he showed me that the Bible says God gives people a brand new language that they never learned. Now he showed it to me in the Bible, and I told him to show it to me through himself. Now, can we speak in tongues without an interpreter? Yes and no. In my case, yes. 1 Corinthians 14 tells us that tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. That was me. I was the believe not guy. And the tongues that Jill had, the language that God gave him, was a sign to me that God was real. Jill, in that maximum security jail, bowed his head, closed his eyes, and began to speak in a language that to this day, I know it was of God. I was in a juvenile jail. I was evil as could be, and I loved sin. When this man prayed and looked up at me as he prayed, I sensed the Spirit of God come all over me as I had never known him. I knew that I knew that I knew that this guard had proven God to my spirit. I heard him speak in a tongue which was not earthly, it was not human, it was divine. Because when he spoke in that language, just hearing it and looking at him, it wasn't a circus, it wasn't a show, it was a holy moment, and the power of God came into that jail. Now immediately I said to Jill, stop, because it was so holy, it scared me. It scared me to know that I had just had an encounter with the living God. Now Jill kind of giggled, and he was kind of surprised at my reaction, and he asked, why should I stop? And I told him, because I'm scared. And not long after that, he and another inmate, the inmate's name is Bernie Evans, he and another inmate asked me to join them in a separate room for prayer because I wanted to be saved. I wanted the same God in my heart that Jill had in his. And the Bible says that there's only one God, and I wanted that God, and his name is Jesus Christ. Now they invited me in the interview room to pray. I agreed to join them, and immediately, the moment I said yes, I felt the presence of God. And I knew at that very moment that I was going to be saved. I knew that I was going to be born again. I went into that room a sinner, on his way to a devil's hell, but I walked out a child of God. Simply put, Jill told me that Jesus Christ was present in the room with the three of us. Jill began to again pray in another language. And then he said he was going to say a prayer that I was to repeat, and that I was to pray it to God, and to mean it in my heart. Now I said yes. Now, I don't care what anybody says about the sinner's prayer or whatever else. I prayed the sinner's prayer, asking Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin and to come into my heart. I confessed him as Lord. I believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead. At that moment, God saved me. Now, in the Bible, it talks about a man who prayed in the temple, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, the Bible says and tells us that God justified that man. The man's heart cry to God had caused God to arouse his power to save that man. Now, Jesus Christ did the same thing for me. He saved me because he answered my heart's cry for forgiveness and for freedom and for relationship above all with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, I asked Jill after I prayed, I said, how do I know if I'm saved? And Jill said to me, he said, you'll know. And at that, we all walked out of the room. And as I went to my cell, I had to go past about 18 other inmates in the television room. One of the inmates asked me, what were you doing in there with those Christians? And I replied, I'm a Christian now. I said, I'm a Christian now. Now the moment I said that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me in great power and confirmed my sonship before everybody. He literally gave me the assurance that I was now forgiven. And I began to well with tears. and joy as the Lord spoke His eternal witness into my heart. I knew at that moment, right then and there, I was saved. It literally felt from the top of my head to the sole of my feet that I was clean. I was washed clean from the inside out. Now, why did Jesus only allow me to know I was saved a few minutes after I actually was saved? Well, He gave me the answer to that question many years later. The Bible says this, "He who confesses me before men, I shall confess him before my Father and his holy angels." You see, God was waiting on the words of my confession before a hardened jail filled with sin. The moment that I confessed that Jesus Christ was now in my heart, He confessed me to His Father in heaven. And I went to my cell and I jumped up and down and I laughed a little bit and then I cried and I got all weird for Jesus. Me and Jesus, we spent a lot of time in jail. He and I would fellowship for hours and hours and hours and hours. No TV, no movies, no sin, just Jesus. And people would laugh at me because I was now a Christian. People would laugh at me because of the change in my life. Little by little, however, inmates would come to me and confide to me their deepest thoughts, and they would ask me to pray for them. Now let me say this, God showed up, sent revival, and guards were being affected. Guards were being affected, and one went to the local Pentecostal church because he told the church, who later told me, "When I saw Dan at night all alone on his knees praying, I knew this was real." That's what the guard said. One guard made fun of me all the time, and I debated with him that Jesus Christ was real and that without him, he was destined for hell. Unfortunately, he soon afterwards committed suicide by shooting himself in the head. Now, there were good times in that jail and bad times, but all in all, we saw God more than the devil. We saw God more than sin. And though many would fight the cross and Jesus and what He did for us, hey, God always prevails.
But you remember, you were always sitting in front of me when I was on the unit.
I remember.
You were in the chair and you were there, you and the other guy, and you have your own little Bibles, and you were talking about God.
How long were you witnessing to me for? Before you led me to Christ, then?
Probably for a year.
Probably for a year.
Oh yes, for a year for sure. You had a thirst for God, and it was my last 6 months. And 24, I was off for 6 months, you know.
Yeah.
I was working as casual, and you said tonight it's your last night, but I want to accept Jesus in my heart. I told the other guy who was working with me. I said, if you don't mind, I will go in the interview room. And
that's Charles Dunphy who said that to me.
Yeah, and I said, because Danny wants to give his life to Jesus Christ, he said, no problem, he'll go there. And if you remember, I told you first, I said, first, before you I made that prayer, you're going to repeat it, I said, I'll pray in tongues. And I pray in tongues, but I know God was present with us in that
Amen.
Well, it was awesome, and I will never forget that.
No, I've never forgotten that day. I remember I looked at Bernie in that jail, and I said, I'm going to get saved. And he looked at me. You were in the office talking with Charles Dunphy, the other guard. And Bernie looked at me, and he said, how do you know? And I don't know how I knew, Jill. I still don't know to this day. But the Spirit of God, before I was saved, bore witness with me that I was about to be saved. I was about to be saved. I remember the Spirit of God came down,
yeah.
And... I was clean. I was so clean. I remember when I walked out of that room, all the inmates said, what were you doing in there?
Hey, it's true. And when you came out of that room, you remember you had that small Bible in your hand, and you lift your hand up high, and you said, I'm saved.
Now, in closing, I want to say very briefly that Jesus Christ set me free, delivered me from the bondage of sin, and forgave me of sin itself. And I want to say that He can do the same thing for you if you're willing to forsake all and turn from your sin to become a child of God. Then that is the first step in the right direction. The next step is to put your belief to practice, and that means to call out on the name of the Lord. That means to call out to God, to ask Him to receive you as His child and to change your life. If you're willing to do that, then at the end of this recording, you will be asked to pray with Pastor Carter Conlin. And if you pray with that man and sincerely mean that prayer from the very depth of your being, God will immediately become your Father, forgive your sin, and set you free from the power of the devil.
Would you join with me, please, in prayer?
Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Jesus, thank you that you loved me enough that you became a man and died on a cross, paid the price for all the wrong things that I have done. I'm sorry for my sin. It's my sin that put you on that cross. And I'm sorry. I don't want to live in rebellion to you anymore. I ask you to forgive me. And tonight I open my heart and I invite you into my life to be my Savior and my Lord. I believe, Jesus, you are the Son of God. I believe you died for me to pay the price for all the wrong things that I've committed against God and against man. I believe that on the third day, by the power of God, you were raised from the dead as living proof that my trust in you tonight is not in vain. I believe that as Christ was raised from the dead, so tonight, Almighty God, you are raising me from the dead, from the death of sin. You are giving me a new life, the life of Jesus Christ. Oh God, on my testimony and the belief in my heart, and according to your word, at this moment, I believe I am saved. I am saved. I